commandments are summed up in this word: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Amen. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, but neighbors do. Humans always have, and we always will, because we are humans, following the way, but not quite there yet. So Jesus speaks to us today about this fact, this hard truth of humanity. What do we do when we lack love? When in fact we have caused harm to our neighbor or have been harmed by the lack of love? In this passage, Jesus is not just talking about how to handle conflict in the church. Let's be clear, there was no church when Jesus was alive. Jesus was a Jew, and the followers of Jesus were also Jews. There was no church as we know it for hundreds of years later. In some translations of our gospel today, we hear Jesus speaking of communities of believers, of brotherhoods, of the ecclesia, communities of people who belong to each other, who follow Jesus and who share the commandment that is the fulfilling of all law, to love one another. Jesus is speaking to them because he knows they will not always follow this commandment, that they need a new way to heal from the harm caused by a lack of love. Jesus rarely, if ever, really talks about how to be community. That shows up mostly in our epistles, letters to the new communities. But Jesus talks a lot about love and about healing. And this passage today is our ultimate directive on how to heal when relationships lack true love. Humans throughout history have been complicit in great harm. We have also been heroes in the story of great love. I once spent time with a hero in the story of great love. Father Michael Lapsley was born in New Zealand, and he entered into seminary at age 17. By age 24, Father Lapsley, a young man of great faith, driven to be with the poor and the marginalized, was serving the Anglican Communion in the church in South Africa during a time of great harm in that country known as apartheid. In apartheid South Africa, blacks and whites lived in a world of segregation and racial oppression of black-bodied people who were, in fact, the majority. Apartheid lasted from 1948 until the early 1990s. Father Lapsley says, "When I arrived in South Africa, I ceased being a human and I became a white man because every aspect of my life was defined by the color of my skin." In this world of apartheid, the white minority ruled the land and oppressed the black majority through systematic governance that privileged white-bodied people and led to pervasive oppression and the murder of thousands of black-bodied people. The world watched this happen. The world responded by cutting South Africa off from economic trade, of denouncing their actions with long, wordy statements. The world responded by theorizing on the politics of apartheid, and some in this world did nothing. But Father Lapsley responded. He responded with great love. Father Lapsley responded by placing his body in the midst of the struggle for freedom there in South Africa as chaplain to the African National Congress, known as the ANC. Father Lapsley cared for the warrior fighting for freedom. He cared for the mothers who lost their children and husbands. He prayed with and tended to those raising their voices against the machinery of a tyrannical, diabolical empire of evil. He placed his body in dangerous and terrifying situations. He became, at the age of 24, a soldier of love for those that were being threatened by humans who were causing immense and unbearable harm. He did this work because of his faith in Jesus Christ and his value for life, his belief that every human person is a child of God and deserves to be free to live life abundantly. He placed his body in the midst of unbelievable danger, not because he had a political agenda, but in order to shine the light of love, in order to fulfill the greatest of all the commandments, to love his neighbor. In February of 1990, Nelson Mandela, the political leader of the ANC, was released from prison after 27 years of being unjustly held captive. This, by all accounts, was a great triumph, but the reign of apartheid was far from over. 3 months after Mandela's release, Father Michael Lapsley was opening mail in his church office. As he opened a package, an immense explosion occurred. A mail bomb detonated that had been placed between two religious magazines. And Father Lapsley lost both of his hands, an ear and an eye. This was retribution from the empire of the apartheid government for his work to support the freedom of Black South Africans. Father Lapsley spent months in hospital, and by a miracle of God, he lived and was healed. Father Lapsley has since dedicated his life to the healing of others from the trauma of apartheid, not just Black-bodied people, but the healing of all people from trauma. Father Lapsley's ministry is based in listening to these stories of people harmed by the empire of an oppressive regime, because he says, telling our stories has the power to heal. Being heard has the power to heal. And love is revealed through the act of listening, being transformed by listening to those who have been harmed. Jesus says, if another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. Listening has the power to heal. Jesus continues, if you are not listened to, go and tell someone else. And if still that member does not listen to you, tell the whole community. Keep telling your story until you are heard, until someone can, through love, listen deeply to you. This is not a simple story of how to handle conflict. This is a story about how to find justice through healing. Father Lapsley says, when someone has wronged us, caused us harm, and we seek justice, often we are speaking of the justice of revenge. But there is another kind of justice. That is the justice of restoring relationship. Jesus says, tell your story of pain to the person who has harmed you. If they listen, you have regained that person. if they listen and make amends, you have restored relationship. Jesus is saying right relationship is justice. When we are governed by the law of love, restored relationship within our communities is the justice we seek. And restored relationship doesn't end in listening. We must seek to repair the damage done by the lack of love. Father Lapsley told a story in a sermon he gave when he visited Asheville some years ago. He said, if someone steals your bike, and thus you have no bike and no way to get to work and you lose your job, and they come to you and they say, sorry, I stole your bike, but they refuse to return your bike to you, there is no restoration in that apology. Now, if someone steals your bike and they return it to you and they pay you for your lost wages and they say, I am no longer stealing bikes and I am sorry that I harmed you, Now you have been heard. That member has been regained and restorative justice has occurred. So yes, we must listen to those who have been harmed, but we must also seek to repair damage if there is any relationship to restore at all. In our gospel today, Jesus says, if still the person refuses to listen to you, treat them as a tax collector and a Gentile. Tax collectors and Gentiles. So how exactly did Jesus treat tax collectors and Gentiles? Some would say that this means if someone doesn't listen to you or you can't find agreement that you should shun them, perhaps even reject them from your community of believers. But again, this isn't a simple story about how to handle conflict in community. This is a story about how to find justice through the healing and repairing of relationship. So how does Jesus treat tax collectors and Gentiles? And why does he pick these two categories of people anyway? Interesting side note that my husband reminded me of. Matthew, the author of our gospel today, before he was Matthew, was what? Yep, a tax collector. So how did Jesus treat tax collectors and Gentiles? And why these two roles? Tax collectors and Gentiles, these were people who sided with the Roman Empire. They were not a part of the ecclesia, the brotherhood of Jesus' followers. Not yet, anyway. But as we learn from Matthew, Jesus is always open to them. Once they decide to turn away from the ways of empire and dedicate themselves to the communities of believers to walk the way of love, until then, Jesus says, just give them space. We cannot heal relationships with people who actually don't want to be in relationship with us. We can't heal relationship if there is no desire to repair the damage done. But Jesus shows us, acknowledge the person, always be open to them, but until people can show up with some common values based in love, there is no mutual work toward right relationship. Until there is, do the work in your community with those brothers and sisters that desire to follow the way of love with you. And yet, as Matthew did when he turned away from empire and toward Jesus, there was healing. He found forgiveness and compassion from the community of believers. This is not a simple story about how to handle conflict. This is a story about the healing power of restorative justice and the commandment to love our neighbor. So what does this mean for us, Grace? How will we be accountable to this commandment to love our neighbors? Are we willing to hear the stories of pain and struggle that people have faced and face today in this country because of slavery and segregation, because of continued systemic racism? Are we willing to make amends, to repair the damage done because of 400 years of oppressive policy and hundreds of years of free slave labor? Or will we be like the tax collectors and the Gentiles? Or will we turn toward Jesus in the way of love? The justice of restoring relationships is grounded in this love of neighbor. Loving our neighbor takes courage and resiliency and the ability to sacrifice. It is not political work. It is deeply spiritual work. And we must have the ability to move toward restored relationships when we fail to love well, which we will fail to do, and which we must acknowledge we failed to do throughout our history. I'm curious how we here at Grace can build the capacity to turn toward Jesus and the way of love by listening to the harm that has been done in our world and to make amends, to listen, to be transformed, to heal. Because truly this is the work before us now, to listen, to heal, to be transformed. Over the next few months, I will be exploring this with you. I will be exploring this with you not because I have a political agenda, but because I want us to shine the light of love in order to fulfill the greatest of all the commandments, to love our neighbor. I will explore our engagement with racial reconciliation not because it is trendy to do so or politically correct, but because we are called to follow the commandment that fulfills all the law, to love our neighbor as ourselves. Paul continues in his epistle to the Romans, some decades after Jesus is murdered. He says, "Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. Besides this commandment to love one another, it is also time for us to wake from sleep, to wake up to Jesus' call for us to build the kingdom of God, to wake up to our own need for right relationship, to wake up to the deep need for repair of damage done, to wake up to what the power of love has the capacity to heal. Let us wake up. And being healed and transformed, let us be a part of the story of great love." Amen.